Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Governor Matt Bevin says northeastern Kentucky still has economic potential.
A college student in Lexington was attacked by a man with a machete.
And Moorhead State University President Wayne Andrews is wrapping up his tenure.
In sports, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft are tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Some thunderstorms tonight. Lows will be in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A Transylvania University student was attacked today by a man with a machete at a campus coffee shop. Karen Czar reports.
Just before 9 this morning, Transylvania University and schools in downtown Lexington were put on lockdown. A man came into a coffee shop in the Glenn Building on Transy's campus with a bag full of knives and, according to witnesses, shouted, "The day of reckoning is here." He pulled out a machete and attacked a female freshman. Campus security immediately jumped in. This is Transylvania's president, Seamus Carey.
They were there immediately. They saved what could have been a much more disastrous situation. And I'd also like to commend the Lexington police because they were here immediately as well. And we've always had a tremendous working relationship between the two forces.
The attacker is a former student at the university. He is in police custody. Campus has reopened, but classes were canceled for the day. Some witnesses are saying that the suspect asked one woman if she was a Republican or a Democrat. She answered Republican, and he told her she was safe. He asked another girl the same question, and that's when he attacked her. Lexington police tell me they aren't confirming a motive and say the investigation is ongoing. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
A boy and his stepfather have been accused of conspiring to murder the boy's grandparents. 38-year-old Kenneth Brown and his 12-year-old stepson were taken into custody Tuesday night after the Boyle County Police Department received a concerned call on Saturday night. Donnie Moses, Boyle County's sheriff's detective, says the case was made even stranger by the role of the 12-year-old boy. Moses spoke with WKYT.
He admitted to his involvement and some steps that he had taken to further the crime to allow his stepfather into the home to gain access to the grandparents.
The boy didn't say how they planned to kill the couple, but disclosed that his stepfather was designated as the killer. Moses says the boy was living in his grandparents' home at the time and is now housed in a juvenile detention center. The county attorney will now decide whether or not to prosecute the 12-year-old as an adult.
A University of Kentucky student has accused an unidentified Uber driver of sexual assault. Haley Hansen is from the Kentucky News Network.
University police got a report of sexual abuse of a student on campus sometime in the early hours of Wednesday. The student says she got into an Uber that was supposed to take her back to her dorm, but instead the driver passed her building and drove to a parking structure nearby. That's when the student says the driver tried to inappropriately kiss and touch her. Campus police issued a crime bulletin that was sent out to all students and staff, warning them of the incident. I'm Haley Hansen.
An elderly Adams County, Ohio man has been reported missing. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports 81-year-old Paul Tate was last seen around 9 p.m. on Wednesday. At the time, he was driving a white 1986 Ford F-150 on Fishing Gut Road in Brown County. Adams County Sheriff Kimmy Rogers says Tate has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and has signs of dementia. Anyone with information is asked to call the Adams County Sheriff's Office at 937-544-2314.
A Brown County, Ohio man wanted on a domestic violence indictment has been arrested in Maysville. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, Daniel Clancy of Feesburg, Ohio, was apprehended by police at a hotel Wednesday. Clancy was charged on April 12th in Brown County with 2 counts of rape, a count of kidnapping, and a count of domestic violence. He was indicted April 20th by a grand jury on 1 count of third-degree domestic violence, and a warrant was issued for his arrest. Police say there was a female in the hotel room with Clancy, who may be the alleged victim in the case. Clancy awaits extradition to Ohio in the Mason County Detention Center.
The chairman of the company that will build an aluminum plant in South Shore says it's a massive investment that he hopes will capture a major share of the market for moving vehicles. Craig Bouchard is with Brady Industries.
3 years from now, this facility will be producing 20% of the automotive sheet aluminum in the United States. 20% of those cars all over the country. So it's a scale is very important.
Bouchard says Brady's investment in the Greenup County plant will top $1 billion and the company will hire 550 workers.
Governor Bevin says northeastern Kentucky is well situated for robust economic growth in the years ahead. The Republican believes the new aluminum mill in Greenup County is just the start. Bevin says the region has a superb transportation infrastructure.
You've got the rail. You could put something on the river right here and send it to China. Literally, right up this river, right out into the Gulf, right across the Panama Canal, and straight across the Pacific Ocean. I mean, that's extraordinary. You have an amazingly robust, small, but amazingly effective airport right here that has the potential to be even more active than it is. You've got an abundance of land. You've got the highway here. I think you're going to see this area transformed, and it's going to be fun to watch.
The governor spoke at a press conference Wednesday.
Kentucky is on the verge of surpassing its record for business investments, fueled by three separate billion-dollar announcements in the first quarter of 2017. Those investments carry with them more than $195 million in tax breaks and other incentives for a state struggling to fix its pension system, which experts say is at least $35 billion short of what it will owe retirees over the next 30 years. But state officials say the companies only get most of that money if they meet their targets, which would generate more tax revenue for the state. State economic development officials say 53 companies have pledged just over $5 billion on new facilities and expansions in Kentucky since January. The state's record for a calendar year is $5.1 billion, set in 2015.
Some Kentucky residents have received SBA awards. Here's Brian Courtney.
The Small Business Administration gives out the awards on National Small Business Week to recognize employees and business owners that go above and beyond in their fields. Local recipients include Brandon Feltner from Prestonburg, Tim Preston from the Grayson Journal Inquirer, and Joshua Barrett from Richmond. The 2017 SBA Kentucky Small Business Person of the Year is Deborah Dudley, president and owner of Oscar Ware Incorporated in Bonnyville. The company is a leading manufacturer of both disposable and porcelain-coated steel cooking toppers. The celebration will take place May 3rd in Frankfort, Kentucky. For MSPR, I'm Brian Courtney.
Ashland City Commissioners have approved the second installment of a $90,000 community development block grant loan to help a minority-owned business get started. The vote was 3-2, with Commissioners Matt Perkins and Marshall Steen dissenting. They said they had questions about the loan for Blazer's Restaurant and Bakery. The commissioners asked that the issue be removed from the consent agenda and voted on separately. The request came after businessman Robert Batchelor claimed he had been denied a CDBG loan, and the recipient of the Blazers loan is a plaintiff in a lawsuit against him. However, Commissioner Marty Gutz says the applicants, Irvin and Jessica Perea, simply met the eligibility requirements for the program.
The guy went through the proper channels, and he's a minority, and his wife's a woman. So they were kind of made application from the city the right way. And so they're investing their money and energies and time in the old Chimney Corner building, which has been empty for a long, long time.
Commissioner Marshall Steen says his no vote wasn't against the loan itself. He says he just didn't feel like the issue had been properly vetted.
The official who is overseeing a $50 million project to expand and revamp Morehead State University's Student Center says the work is going very well. Rick Linio is the school's assistant vice president for facilities. According to Linio, the work at the Adrian Doran University Center has been about 30% completed.
They're making great progress. When you walk by the site, you can see that they are beginning to stage for the second floor area of ADUC. So they've got all the scaffolding up, they got all the flooring down to get ready for the pour of the concrete to start building the second floor.
Linio says some framing is being done on both the first and second floors of the building, while the conduits for its plumbing and electrical systems are being installed. Outside of its bookstore, the rest of the Doran University Center will remain closed until its grand reopening, which is expected to happen in late August 2018.
Companies and businesses looking for new locations that offer plenty of work-ready employees should strongly consider His County. That word comes from Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins. When it comes to Kentucky's growing aerospace industry, Blevins says a program at Morehead State University is producing graduates who can plug right into it.
The Space Science Center is just paying great dividends for us. When people see that facility we have there and the expertise and the kinds of students that we're producing, I think it has to open up people's eyes that Round County and Eastern Kentucky is a good place to bring your businesses.
Blevins says the new Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which will be a part of the $28 million facility that the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College is building at the Route 801 Industrial Park, will be training its students in high-tech 21st century manufacturing techniques.
A Rowan County special education teacher has been named to a special state task force on dyslexia. Here's Tilden Johnson.
Allison Sloan will be working with the group to help provide equal opportunities for students who suffer from dyslexia. Sloan has been a middle school special education teacher for 18 years. The task force was created by Kentucky Commissioner of Education, Dr. Stephen Pruitt, after a series of town hall events where educators voiced concern about the issue. Sloan was nominated for the task force by Carolyn Blair, the Director of Pupil Personnel for Rowan County Schools. The statewide task force includes nearly 20 educators, parents, special education directors, and school psychologists. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is planning to start a project in Carter County next week. According to Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair, the work will involve some bridge work on Kentucky 474.
An old bridge there on that route with a newly constructed bridge. And to do that, we've made a little diversionary route around the construction site just to carry the 474 traffic while we build the new bridge. So that's going to occur within the next week. They'll be switching traffic over onto that new route just adjacent to the old bridge, tear out the old bridge, and replace it with a new one.
As Blair noted, the work on this 474 bridge will start next week. It's expected to be finished in late summer or early fall, but that timeline is dependent on possible weather factors.
The number of highway fatalities in Kentucky in 2016 increased since the year before, MSPR's Chaz Jenkin reports.
According to the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, there were a total of 834 fatalities in 2016. That's 73 more than in 2015. Of the 2016 deaths, almost 51% of those who perished were not wearing seatbelts. About 17% died as the result of drunk driving, and more than 36% of the fatal accidents involved speeding. Motorcyclists accounted for 90 of the total fatalities. 60% of them were not wearing their helmets. To date in 2017, the preliminary numbers show there have been 220 roadway fatalities in the Bluegrass State. That's 226 less when compared to last year at this time. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Officer Michael Trent says Morehead State University's Police Department and the DEA will host a Take Back Day tomorrow on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., The event gives the public an opportunity to prevent pill abuse and theft by ridding their homes of potentially dangerous, expired, unused, and unwanted prescription drugs.
National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. It's an opportunity for people to turn in any unused or discarded prescription drugs that they may have. It's a safer way to dispose of them. You don't want to really, put those in the trash or flush them down the commode or anything like that, so it's an opportunity for people to bring in their prescriptions and be safely removed and destroyed.
Disposed drugs may be in or out of container, but needles are not permitted. The event will be held in front of the MSU Police Department at the Laughlin Health Building. The police department is open 24/7, 365 days a year, and the program is open to the public, and all drop-offs are confidential.
A Kentucky family court judge says he won't hear any more adoption cases that involve gay adults. The Courier-Journal reports Judge Mitchell Nance issued an order Thursday saying he believes that under no circumstance would, quote, the best interest of a child be promoted by the adoption by a practicing homosexual, unquote. Nance cited an ethical rule that says judges must qualify themselves when they have a personal bias or prejudice.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer says there's no doubt about the feelings of his rural constituents on the proposed construction of a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico. The Monroe County Republican says the issue was raised frequently at forums across the 1st District over the past 2 weeks.
I had 10 town halls and I don't know how many meetings and how many conversations with people, and the wall always came up. And there is overwhelming support in my district to build the wall, and that's something that people expect to get done in the very near future.
However, Comer says he's sensitive to private property rights and cost as lawmakers tackle the project. He serves on a House subcommittee that held a hearing on the issue Thursday.
An excited crowd of 62 people became U.S. citizens yesterday in Louisville. The diverse group took part in naturalization ceremonies led by U.S. Magistrate Colin Lindsay on the Ursuline campus. 31 countries were represented in the ceremony, including Mexico, Iran, Iraq, Cuba, Hungary, England, and the Philippines. Like many of the new citizens, Kent, a U of L student from Vietnam, is looking forward to exercising his right to vote.
It feels like I've entered a new chapter of my life. I feel like I could start to vote now, and school would become much better, I believe. Now I'm a U.S. citizen.
The hour-long ceremony included singing the national anthem, taking the oath of citizenship, and a rendition of America the Beautiful.
With the Kentucky Derby coming up, the Kentucky Distillers Association is using this opportunity to remind people to drink responsibly. To that effect, they are about to release several public service announcements. The KDA's Director of Social Responsibility is Allie Edelstein, who says Derby Week is a good time to educate people.
You should always keep in mind that it's about quality, not quantity. The great part about Kentucky bourbon is you have a lot of high-quality options. What we want to encourage you to do is to try them responsibly and to focus on understanding what you're drinking instead of drinking a lot.
Edelstein says the goal is to show people how to enjoy their bourbon in a safe and responsible way. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, scattered thunderstorms early, then cloudy skies after midnight with a chance of rain at 50% and temperatures around 66. Your Saturday will be partly cloudy with highs around 89 degrees, and Saturday night will be partly cloudy with lows around 68. Your Sunday will be sunny and a little bit cloudy. Highs will be around 87, and Sunday night will be partly cloudy with lows around 69 degrees. It's currently 82 degrees in Ashland, it's 79 degrees in Flemingsburg, 84 in Inez, 80 in Lexington, and it is 81 degrees in Winchester and here in Moorhead.
4:48 the time, you're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, spring practices are over for the Moorhead State football team, and the Eagles will head into preseason camp in August with one key question unanswered. MSPR's Braxton Howard has more.
Coach Rob Tenyer needs to figure out who will quarterback the Eagles in 2017. They need to replace four-year starter Austin Gayhafer, who graduates next month after finishing his career at MSU as the Pioneer Football League's career leader in passing yards, completions, attempts, and total offense. In naming Gayhafer's successor, Tenyer will be choosing between senior Jack Sherry and junior Lawson Page. He says both QBs were impressive this spring.
I think Lawson Page really stood out, had a really good scrimmage. He has some intangibles, obviously. I think his leadership is tremendous. He's kind of a dual-threat guy. And then Jack Sherry did some nice things as well in the scrimmage. And, you know, it's an important position, you know, in this offense that we run.
The 6'5", 225-pound Sherry served as Gayhafer's backup for the past few seasons, something he thinks gives him the upper hand in the battle.
Personally, I understand things that Lawson does better than me. He's a better runner with the ball. But then you also think about experience, understanding of the offense, something that I think that I'm adept at.
As for Page, he spent last season as the Eagles' primary quarterback in their short-yardage Wildcat formation. While he didn't throw a pass in 2016, he did run the ball 27 times for 100 yards and 7 touchdowns. He says his skills in carrying the ball is what gives him the edge in the battle.
I feel like I can run the ball a little more. But, you know, Jack is a great quarterback. But I feel like if the one thing that separates us is my ability to run the ball.
In MSU's recent spring game, Sherry went 5 for 14 through the air, good for 50 yards, while Paige went 7 for 17 for 100 yards and a touchdown. According to Sherry, the one thing the spring game showed is that regardless of who wins the job, the Eagles' offense will be in good hands.
We're both just, you know, we're there trying to do the best that we can to help the team. And, you know, obviously I do. It is my intention to win the starting job and be the starter come fall. But right now we're just taking it, you know, a step at a time and understanding that ultimately what's best for the team will end up happening. And, you know, regardless of who is the starter, we will both still contribute.
As for when the final decision on the starter will be made, head coach Rob Tenier says that won't come until the fall.
I like the competition, you know what I mean? I think there's a little bit of a separation as we conclude spring. But I think that, you know, it's probably going to take until probably practice 7 or 8 in the fall to really come to a conclusion on it. But I know this, I think we got some guys, I know that we've got some guys that we can win a championship with.
Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
4:50 the time, you're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Nathan's been keeping an eye on the sports world. He is coming up right now.
Who's next in line for Cincy? Good afternoon, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. The NFL Draft continues tonight at 7 in Philadelphia, with rounds 2 and 3 scheduled to happen. The Cincinnati Bengals used last night's 9th overall selection of the first round to bolster their offense as they took University of Washington wide receiver John Ross. Ross set an NFL combine record by clocking a 4.22 in the 40-yard dash, and Coach Marvin Lewis says he has all the makings of being an explosive playmaker.
He's got great acceleration, great speed, and he plays with it. It's not just, you know, not track speed. You see the speed on the football field.
In addition to lining Ross up with the Bengals offense, Lewis says he could also be used to return kickoffs and punts. Cincinnati will have the 9th pick in tonight's 2nd round. In another NFL note, the Cleveland Browns have released veteran tight end Gary Barnage, one of their most productive players the past 4 years. Barnage made 134 catches for 1,655 yards over the last 2 seasons. Losers of 5 of their last 6, the Cincinnati Reds open a 3-game series tonight at 8:15 against the Cardinals in St. Louis. Manager Brian Price says one thing that would help his Reds turn things around is getting their young starting pitchers to work deeper into ballgames.
That's the key, is these guys have to be able to roll through that lineup 3 times and give us a chance to take a lead and give us a chance to turn the ball game over to the bullpen with a chance to win instead of just trying to finish off a game that's out of control early.
At 10-12, the Reds sit 4 in the NL Central, 1 game behind St. Louis. The Cards are 11-11. A 3-game weekend OVC series against Eastern Illinois starts for the Morehead State baseball team in just a few minutes at 5 o'clock at Allen Field. At 12-5 in league play, the Eagles are 2nd in the standings, 3.5 games behind Tennessee Tech. MSU split 2 games with Austin Peay last weekend, with rain washing out the final game of the series. Coach Mike McGuire hopes that playing one less game in conference won't hurt his team as it challenges Tech for the regular season title.
It kind of depends on what we do the rest of the way and what Tennessee Tech does the rest of the way. I mean, I don't think there's any point in lamenting over it at this point in time. You know, it could affect down the road, but it may not even come into play. So at this point, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Tomorrow's game with EIU starts at 2 p.m. with Sunday's contest slated for 1 o'clock. The Morehead State softball team will be looking to improve on its 5-9 OVC record this weekend at home. The Eagles have a doubleheader against Jacksonville State tomorrow, followed by a Sunday twin bill with Tennessee Tech. Even though his team is just 5-9 in conference, Coach David Williams says MSU's in a good place right now.
We're starting to do some things that we were doing at the beginning of the year when everybody was healthy, and now that we've got everybody healthy again, we're starting to get back to some of the things we were doing at the beginning of the year, and I think our players are seeing the ball really well right now. I think we're hitting the ball better than we've hit it all season.
Tomorrow's MSU-Jack State doubleheader starts at noon at University Field. While he's still recruiting more help for his team in the post, new Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin is feeling good about what the Eagles already have at those positions. According to Spradlin, that's because he already has 2 solid returnees, 6'6 freshman Alonzo Chapman and 6'7 sophomore Lamontre Harris, along with 2 key newcomers in the fold.
The 2 players that we signed out of Florida and Londell King and Cedric Wright are both really strong, physical, tough, and versatile post players that I don't think you can quite put a label on them in terms of the four or the five. They can both play a little bit of both, and they're gonna really give us some depth and some versatility, size and grit and toughness down in the paint this year.
The Basketball Eagles have signed four players this spring and hope to add more recruits in the coming weeks. Looking at a few notes in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls say point guard Rajon Rondo will be out for tonight's Game 6 against the Celtics due to a broken thumb and a torn ligament in his right wrist. And a person with knowledge of the situation tells the Associated Press that Larry Bird is stepping down as president of the Indiana Pacers. The person tells the AP that Kevin Pritchard is being elevated from general manager to the team's new president of basketball operations. Bird leaves the Pacers ahead of a pivotal summer in which the franchise will have to decide what to do with star forward Paul George, who can become a free agent after next season. And finally, for today in sports, a final tune-up for many Kentucky Derby horses this morning, including the favorite, Paul Miles, reports.
Classic Empire turns in one final workout before the Run for the Roses.
This was big, and I don't think we could ask for any better.
Trainer Mark Cassie's colt is the Arkansas Derby winner and likely favorite in the Kentucky Derby.
I love being the favorite. That means you have the best shot of winning.
Cassie also trains Derby contender State of Honor. At Churchill Downs, I'm Paul Miles.
That's a look at sports. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball welcomes Eastern Illinois for three games this weekend. Eagle softball will host Jacksonville State for two games tomorrow and Tennessee Tech for two games on Sunday. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower as investors digested economic data and key corporate earnings, but looked to close April with strong monthly gains. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 40.82 at 20,940.51. The S&P 500 was down 4.57 at 2384.2. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 1.33 at 6047.61. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Even with today's losses, the major indices did post a monthly advance of about 1%. Among stocks today that reported earnings, General Motors had earnings per share of $1.70 on sales of just over $41 billion versus $1.46 a share consensus going into the report, and that strong beat helped the stock move up today 0.25%. Amazon reported earnings per share of $1.48 on $35.7 billion in revenues versus a consensus of $1.12 in regard to earnings, and also a consensus on sales of $35.3 billion, and Amazon was up 0.75% today. And Alphabet, which is, of course, the parent for Google, reported earnings per share of $7.73 on revenue of $24.75 billion versus estimates of $7.39 for earnings and revenue of $24.22 billion, and that strong beat helped Alphabet stock move up today 3.7%. The U.S. economy grew at a rate of about 0.7% in the first quarter, according to the Commerce Department. Economists going into the report expected growth closer to 1.2%. Geopolitical tensions remained in traders' minds as U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson urged the United Nations to impose new sanctions against North Korea. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 0.43% at $49.18 a barrel, and gold was up 0.28% at $1,269.40 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Chevron and ExxonMobil, and the worst performers were Intel and American Express. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cerner and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, and the worst performers were Synchrony Financial and Host Hotels and Resorts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, is Ashland Global down 20 cents at 123.49, CSX down 41 cents at 50.84, AEP down 28 cents at 67.82, Marathon Petroleum down 9 cents at 50.93, AK Steel down 11 cents at 6.34, and Kroger was down 49 cents to finish at 29.66. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Scattered thunderstorms early, then cloudy skies after midnight. 50% chance of rain and lows around 66. Your Saturday and Saturday night will be partly cloudy, highs around 89 and lows around 68. Your Sunday and Sunday night will be partly cloudy, with highs around 87 and lows around 69. It's currently 81 degrees here in Moorhead.